ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Spectacular Show! This week, actor Shauna Miles! And straight from the ballpark himself, it's Mitchell the Angry Peanut Vendor! Your host, John O'Connor!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you very much! Thank you! Two times! Welcome to Spectacular Show, everybody. Great to be here. Great to see you guys. Big news in music this week. The cardigan sweater that former Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain wore in the band's 1993 MTV Unplugged performance recently sold at auction for $334,000, even though it had never been washed since. When reached for a comment, the winning bidder said he really hopes it still smells like Teen Spirit. Hello, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, well, whatever. Never mind. Big news in food! Big news in food! Did you hear this? This week, Pizza Hut announced a new test product, a meatless sausage and veggie pizza served in a round box. According to Pizza Hut Chief Customer and Operations Officer Nicholas Berquier, the box took 2 years to develop, and he said it was, quote, the most innovative packaging we've rolled out to date. Nick, if it takes you 2 years to put round food in a round box, I have a feeling you're going to be working in a hut for the rest of your life. And in international news, this week in China, a 67-year-old retired doctor gave birth. Yeah. A woman named Tian gave birth on Friday to a 5.6-pound baby girl. Both are in stable condition and doing well. The physician in charge of the delivery said that the mother's ovaries were like those of a 40-year-old and hadn't shrunk like a 60-year-old woman's normally would have. So, a 67-year-old woman gave birth to a healthy baby. Hey, Pizza Hut, I'm way more impressed with this box. Folks, we have a spectacular show for you this evening. One of my favorite actors, one of my favorite people, Shauna Miles is here. And, fresh off his shift at the ballpark, Mitchell the Angry Peanut Vendor is here. Now, folks, as I cartwheel my way to the desk, please listen to our friend Synthbot and rate, like, and subscribe to this podcast. Take it away, SynthBot. From the creators of Things and Stuff, it's It!
What is it?
What is it? You'd better get with it. It can do anything. You can stick it, shove it, kick it, love it. You can stow it, suck it, grow it. Finally, something that does it all. Give it a whirl. Get it on and rub it in and you'll hit it off.
It's amazing. Give me more of it.
You want it? Well, you'd better move it. Get it together, run to the store, and buy it.
I lost it.
You lost it? Well, buy it again.
Found it. It was totally worth it.
Another product? Forget it. It is where it's at.
Do it.
You've got that right, friend. It's the best.
My first guest is an actor whose credits include Law and Order on NBC, The Good Wife on CBS, and Luke Cage on Netflix, among others. And this holiday season, she can be seen playing Mrs. Cratchit and Mrs. Fezziwig in A Christmas Carol at Hartford Stage in Hartford, Connecticut. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shauna Miles. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I am thrilled that we could finally do this.
Yes, me too.
Yes, so this, let's talk about A Christmas Carol for a little bit.
Oh, yes, please.
This is your second year.
It's actually my third year.
Oh, my word. Third.
I know. Yeah, it's my third. It's my third. It's my third year.
And is this the same third year playing the same roles?
Yes. I am dual duty as Mrs. Cratchit and Mrs. Fezziwig. It's great. I come on in the first act. I do a little thing. I have garish makeup on and a big wig and a big butt and big boobs. And then I go off and I come back on as Mrs. Cratchit and I cry over my dead child. And then, you know, Christmas. So it's great. It's good, though. I love it. The people.
Sounds like a hoot.
It's a real. It's actually, I was going to say, bring your kids. but actually, yeah, bring your kids. It's a kids show beyond a certain age. And it's cool because there are people who've been doing this particular production for like years. And so even in just the 3 years I've been doing it now, or the two past years, it's been the same group of people. And so I'm really looking forward to going back and seeing them all and everything. So that's going to be cool.
And when does the play run?
Oh, goodness. Let's say in general from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Okay.
It runs from, I should have pulled the dates. I think we open the very first week of December. Previews usually start the day after Thanksgiving, actually. So I think that's a firm thing. So whatever that is, November 29th, I think. And then I believe we close December 28th this year. So Thanksgiving to Christmas.
And where can people go for info on that?
You can go to hartfordstage.org. I believe they are .org. Or don't trust me and just Google Hartford Stage.
Sure.
And yeah, you can get all ticketing information there. And it's great. I have thoroughly enjoyed going back every year.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Could I ask you about, when I introduced you as an actor.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Well, I'm just asking because at one point recently, in all of my best efforts to be cognizant, I referred to an actor as an actress.
And
was promptly scolded.
Slapped in the face.
Yes, which I'm fine using a new word. But also, until about a year and a half ago, it was a perfectly acceptable word.
To be an actress. As
sure.
Opposed to
or just, a waitress. Right, or right, stewardess. Right. Mm-hmm. It was just a female version of a word. Just
of
like a male
thing.
Version. Yeah, I didn't. And I even corrected myself when I said it.
It's too late.
I said actress or actor. And then it was like, yeah, yeah, I don't like that word. And I was like, well, I didn't ask you.
That's our word, all right? That's our word. You know, honestly, I mean, there are plenty of things that get my goat, and I don't begrudge anybody for whom that is a thing. That's not one of my things. So in other words, I don't care personally. I'm sure somebody, possibly people we both know, might take us both to task. But
possibly.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, actor. I guess if I had to choose actor, I just feels just more like I'm an actor. Because the thing that, you know, people have always said to me when they have expressed, you know, their dislike of the other term is, you know, if you're going to your doctor, if your doctor's a man, he's a doctor. If your doctor's a woman, she's not your doctress or your, you know, the female sort of version of that. She's your doctor. Sure. And so following that logic, I totally agree. It's just one of those things that, I mean, pick any other word or name in this world today, and I can go on way more about it than I don't. If I'm a working actor, that's the most important specification for me. not working actor, working actress. That's fine. Actor or actress alone, whatevs. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. I certainly want to be sensitive.
And you should. And I will say this: if somebody expresses that they prefer the other, which it sounds like you said, you caught yourself, you know what I mean?
So, I caught myself and said it before I could get in trouble. I thought.
But you got in trouble anyway.
I thought.
You thought. If somebody says, hey, I prefer this other way, well then, you know, don't be a dick, which you're not. So, you know, no. Men's amends. But that's
okay. Yeah. To me, I don't know. I understand the...
I was going to say, I have a question for you. So in the comedy world, is comedian still a thing? Or is it everybody's a comedian if you with, you know, the double N-E?
I don't even know how to answer this question without somehow getting in trouble.
Okay.
No. I think that now it's kind of also frowned upon, like, don't say that. Right. I don't know if that's true or not, but I kind of feel like it is because it's just comedian. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Male or female.
And so to the same end, actor. Doesn't matter, but I don't get offended if somebody's like, you're an actress.
Well, you know, that's one thing that does happen in stand-up kind of a lot, is that especially newer comedians, but also to sometimes just schmucks, I don't know. It's one of those things where oftentimes there'll be a showcase, and it's a little different now. More women are getting more chances, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, typically, there'd be a woman on the show,
sure.
If that.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it would be like, you know, you introduce or whoever is introducing the comedians, we've got our first female of the evening.
Right,
you know, that
sure.
Before she's even come out.
Right, right.
So immediately before she's on stage, everybody, it's changes their mindset. It changes what
they're
looking at.
They're primed for something different.
Exactly, yeah. And that part of it I do completely understand.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's stupid. Because it's like she's also a comedian. Just
right.
Introduce her.
I hope that we don't get quote unquote hashtag canceled as a result of this opening of this.
No.
No, we won't.
Well, this is hashtag my own podcast.
Hashtag autonomy.
Hashtag go ahead and try. We're also being diplomatic.
Yes, I think we are.
I'll probably get my first hate mail.
A nice Molotov cocktail through, I don't know. Do we have any windows around? No.
Not right now.
No, not right now.
Luckily, we're in a bunker.
We are. It's a corporate bunker.
Yes. So, you've done some TV shows.
I have done some TV shows.
What was your favorite experience filming one of those?
Actually, that's kind of hard, but kind of not. I guess my favorite experience is one of the first that I did. So, We're about the same age. I'm a year older than you, and yet at the same time, I don't want to be like, this is how old I am, because I don't. but when I graduated undergrad, which was oh so many moons ago, one of the first things I did, I got a job pretty soon after graduation, and was able to get my SAG card right away, and that was great and whatever. And there was a show called The Education of Max Bickford. It was before it became. It was like right at the precipice of it becoming really commonplace for movie stars to start doing TV again. It was Richard Dreyfuss. It was his vehicle. And it was only on for a season. It was on CBS. But it was a good little show. Like, and I did a couple episodes of that. And I don't remember if it was the very first time I was on there or the second time. But so history. I am and have been historically a big X-Files fan. Have we ever talked about that? You ever watched the X-Files? Or?
Yes, we have talked about it, and I only ever saw a handful of episodes.
Okay.
Which I know is sacrilege, and now
but that's
not,
okay.
I know we're not friends anymore, but thank you.
But that's all right. You had never seen Superman, so, you know, we weathered that storm.
That's
so.
True. That's true.
So I was big into the X-Files, like, it used to come on Friday nights, and then they switched it to Sunday nights. And, like, I would come home from school on Fridays and, like, tape it. And, big. So in The X-Files, very long story short, there's this whole sort of mythology arc, and there is this man who's part of the whole kind of, like, secret government, you know, whatever. I can't even remember his exact character name now, but he has this iconic line that is... Trust no one, Mr. Mulder. It's if you watch The X-Files, like, there are a handful of things where you're like, that is, you know, a thing. So that was played by an actor named John Neville, who was, other people might know him from The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen. He was Baron von Munchausen, I guess. I've never seen that movie. I assume he was the titular character. So anyway, on this episode of Max Bickford, he was on there. He was a guest star, and I'm just like a lowly co-star, you know, the few lines, a couple scenes here and there. But I did the thing, which I try to do on all of these TV shows. There's usually been at least one person who I've known from another TV show, and if it's somebody whose work I really respect, or like with John Neville, because with The X-Files, it was like something from like my, you know, teenhood and loved it. I try to do the thing. I try to be cool. I'm not going to be like, oh my God. But I try to do the couch it early so that they can know this is going to be like, ugh, for a second, but I promise I'm going to plow right through it. And then I'm going to leave you alone. I'm not going to let you know. So I did the thing like, I don't want to bother you. I just want to let you know. I love your work. I love the X-Files. I love your blah, blah, blah. And I do the whole, like, thing. And I literally, like, I'm like, and that's all I wanted to say. And, like, sort of, like, you know. So he knew that I wasn't going to be, like, this weird chick, like, bugging him for the rest of the shoot. So he was so gracious and so kind. You know, he was an older gentleman. And he was like, thank you so much, my dear. And he was so sweet. So go on for the next couple of days of the shoot. We would be... Some of the scenes were, like, on location, but a lot of them were actually shot right over, like, I think it was Silver Cup, which is just in Queens, so it's a sound studio or whatever. So there are these different, you know, you shoot your scene down in the set, and then you got to go up to this weird, you know, like, catwalky places sometimes almost to get back to where you got to go to get to your dressing room, whatever. So, and I know my brain has inflated this a little bit, the amount of times this happened, but there were at least 3 or 4 times where throughout this shoot, I wouldn't be aware that he was, like, around, because I'm just, like, trying to, like, keep my nose down and get back to where I'm going. And we would cross paths. I'd see him in the periphery of my vision, and he would just say, trust no one, Mr. Mulder. Like, totally unsolicited.
Wow.
And I would be like, oh, my God. And the thing about it was that it was that character saying it in real life, but it was also, like, even at that age, you know, being, like, 21, 22, it was so, like, I was aware that he knew he was doing, like, a precious thing for, like, this green girl. And that, like, so throughout like 3 days of shooting or whatever, it was just I'm just going around him with a, trust no one, Mr. Mulder, like, from behind me. And I'd be like, oh my God, like, that was probably hands down my most. And he passed away a few years ago, I think. So RIP John Neville. But that was an awesome, like, just sort of, this is your first thing, you know, first gig or whatever. So yeah, I guess that's probably my favorite. And then one other one, and this is just pure laziness. I did a small little co-star thing on, I shouldn't be so self-defeating. I did a co-star thing in this movie called Bachelorette that had Kirsten Dunst and Lizzie Kaplan and Isla Fisher. And there's a scene where they're bringing me something. I have to... fix something for them or whatever. And the best part about that whole shoot, they were very nice. Lizzie Kaplan especially was, like, super nice and everything, which is cool because she was, like, you know, she's a known person, and it's just nice when people are nice and they're not jerks, you know. That the best part of that was that it was, like, 7 minutes from my house. It filmed out on Long Island, which I live in Long Island. And I was like, great. They were like, so we can meet you at the van at East 3rd and blah, blah, blah. Or East 3rd, is that a thing? Wait, I've lived in New York my whole life. Whatever, at 3rd and whatever, you know, in the city, they usually do vans. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm there. Like, I could take the bus there. Like, I'm fine. That's my other favorite thing.
So how long have you been acting? When did you start?
Start, I guess it goes all the way back to my very first thing was my first official but not official thing was being Auntie M in my fourth grade production of The Wizard of Oz. And I remember very clearly wearing this like white and gray awful like Halloween wig that was like yarn almost or whatever, and just having to go Dorothy, like having to do that a lot. And that was the very first thing. And it's just progressed from there. I mean, somewhat progressed. I guess I've progressed.
For sure. Now, what was it about acting? Who inspired you? What inspired you? What made you want to do it?
You know, honestly, I wish I had a more like profound, like an angel visited me. And I wanted to get into, when I was younger, I actually wanted to be for a long time a lawyer. And then I wanted to be an actor and a lawyer. And when you're a kid, you know, you're like, yeah, I can be both, you know, well, of course.
I've got all the time in the world.
Exactly. And then you get older, you're like, oh my God, I don't. But the acting part of it, my mom, and she still does, she watched soap operas. And soap operas in the, you know, 80s and 90s and well before that were way more prevalent than they are now. Now they're barely hanging on by thread, but they were like a thing in my house and during my childhood and in general.
My stories.
Oh my God. My stories. My yes, exactly. Abso-friggin-lutely.
Shauna loves her stories.
My mom loves her stories. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm watching this too. And then totally got into it. But honestly, it came from like typical like latchkey kid, you know, single parent, only child. So home early and for long periods of time. And my mom would tape Days of Our Lives in particular. She would tape her soap operas. And so
on a VHS.
Oh, yeah. Like VHS. And it was before like we had the period of time where cable wasn't quite sophisticated enough where you could like just set your there was something where you could set your VCR and actually turn off your TV. But we had it for a long time where like the TV was on and so it's just all day our TV is just like on and blasting. So it'd be loud enough to just tape these stories. But so I would come home and I would watch these stories and, you know, it's Days of Our Lives. So a lot of it is like romance and all this kind of stuff. And I remember very clearly being like 10 and on the floor and like doing my homework and just being like, oh,
with
my head in my hand.
With your chin
my chin
in
my
hand.
Just being like, oh, I love Bo and Billy from Days of Our Lives. And all of these. Just being like, oh, they're so, mind you, the things that are on these shows, there's like, they're always just a step away from like incest. Everybody's like dying and resurrecting. And there's all these things. But like, so I probably shouldn't have been watching at that age. But that was the thing, though, which in my mind, I was like, I want to be on there and pretend to be in love, too. And so that's a little weird. But then it grew on to like really liking just watching just a lot of TV when I was a kid, like so much TV.
One thing I remember my mom watched them, too, but not quite as much. Uh-huh. She wasn't like obsessed with any. I feel like she was obsessed with one, and not obsessed, that's the wrong word, but I think it was General Hospital.
Oh, well, of course. That's an old school one, General Hospital, on ABC, Channel 7 here in New York. On at like 3 o'clock, from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. That was your good one if you were in school, because you got home and you still had time to watch all of General Hospital.
I think it was General Hospital, or I might be wrong, it might have been All My Children.
All My Children, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, that was a great one if you were homesick from school, because you were like, oh, I get to watch All My Children today. That was awesome. And then One Life to Live was 2 to 3. No, it was 2 to 3? It was 2 to 3, yeah. And that was also another good
one. So if you stayed home sick as a kid, you had it made, because 11 to 12, Price is Right. 12 to 1, lunch. And then soap's till bed.
Oh, totally.
Story's till bed.
Story's till bed. That's so sad.
One thing that I always, as a kid, I haven't seen a soap opera in a long time, but as a kid, especially as a kid during the summer, because you've got the summer off, you can watch daytime television. Mm-hmm. Always almost like making, because we didn't have cable, so it was like, you could either watch reruns of old shows,
uh-huh,
with terrible ads between them.
Right.
And I remember a few times like putting on a soap opera, like wishing I could get into it.
Uh-huh. Just because it was something different.
Just
because
it's
watch.
Like I could watch so many of these if I liked these.
Right, right.
But also that I don't know what they call it. I don't know if there is a term for it. All those soap operas, when at least when we were younger,
uh-huh,
had that smoky,
like haze, like
lens.
Oh, sure.
Almost like a filter. Every one, it was like they were in a fog.
Right. Well, that's that sort of, I don't know what, it's kind of like a Oh, like a gauzy kind of thing. It's like the fantasy of it, I guess, kind of. Yeah, now they're way more just like regular people being shot in HD, and it's not, the fantasy of it is very gone.
I think they should have had an episode where someone came in and was like, hey, nobody turned this vent on.
And it just clears out all the smoke.
And it's all in HD now. I think that should have happened.
I don't disagree.
Okay. Do you have anything else about acting you want to talk about or bring up?
It's great. I love it. It's as they say, it's great work if you can get it. And when you get it, you feel great. And then when you don't, you don't.
Okay, so for anybody, you're here in New York. Anybody up and coming, anybody trying to get their feet wet, what advice would you give them?
To make sure that you have, whether you are actually from New York, or definitely if you're not from New York, have a good support system of whatever that is, whether that's friends, regardless of whether or not they're in the business or not in the business. Whether that's people from your church or your temple or your yoga class, whatever, because you will need them. and just, you gotta like stick with it. There is this, I'm probably gonna butcher it, and it may actually be in my mind like an amalgamation of a couple of interviews, but Will Smith, he has this thing where, in a nutshell, he's pretty much like, I might not be like the best actor, but like, he's like, if I'm on a treadmill, I will run on that treadmill until I die, essentially. I know I'm butchering the thing, but essentially, it's a lot of times, especially if you're coming from school, and so much of it is very much about just being the best, being good. And yes, but it's easy to lose sight of what that means in the context of who you are and what you do. So it's all about like figuring out what is your thing and forgiving yourself for the times when you feel like you fall short, and just persistence. Because at the end of the day, there are many, many, many people who are super, super talented. And some people make the choice to like leave, and other people don't make the choice, but they just, you know, the choice is sort of made for them, and it's a regret. And then there are other people who, if you want to play the comparison game, are not objectively as talented, but they have the tenacity to keep going. And oftentimes those are people who, you know, progress. So I would say just fucking stick with it, unless you don't want to, and then do something else, but make sure that that's what you want to do.
That's good advice. And I really like one of the things you said in there, which was about being the best, which I think as you get older, you start realizing like the idea of the best is kind of bullshit.
Yes.
You can be the quote unquote best at something, but are you the best as like a measurement?
Right.
How do you measure the best? What makes something the best?
Especially when you're dealing with these like, you know, abstracts like acting. I mean, I know people who are so immensely talented who, for whatever reason, it was very difficult for them, you know, to get an agent or to get a show and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, why? Because there's no, it's not like this empirical, you know, like if P then Q, if good actor then work always. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like that. If anything, I would say as far as best, like personal best. And that's one thing that like, you know, going into auditions, I mean, to this day, like I've been doing this now, which is crazy to think of, for like almost 20 years, if I really think about it like that. And I have to remind myself when I go into auditions to, you know, what are the things that I want to do? And then judge myself based on that when I come out. Did I try this thing? Did I do this thing? And if I did, fan-fucking-tastic. And if I didn't, all right, have a shitty train ride back to Penn and then sort of get over myself and forgive myself and then, you know, get back on the horse. And, you know, a lot of times it works out great and then sometimes it doesn't. You're like, damn it. But them's the breaks, you know.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Getting back up on that horse. Unless you're allergic to horses.
Which actually I am. So. But
then you deserve even more credit. Shauna Miles, thank you so much for being here. Shauna Miles, everybody.
You Is everything in your life too loud? Does existence hurt your ears? Then come on down to William's Whisper World. It's wonderful. No noise at all. Peace. Calm. Tranquility. We make libraries look like a spring break ecstasy rave. And we take our silence very seriously. Do you have something to say? Well, please, be considerate and take out a gel pen and write that message on an aloe vera tissue. In case of an emergency, please, keep it to yourself. Use some sign language if you must, but please, keep your whooshing arm noises to a minimum. We don't want anyone being disturbed. Last week, I had to give a caterpillar some slippers because his walking was so loud, each step felt like an army of elephants trying to stamp a mouse to death on my chest. William's Whisper World, 123 Silence Street, Tranquility, Wyoming. Shh! Please keep it down. Noise is the devil.
Okay, welcome back. My blatantly fake guest tonight works at the local ballpark. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mitchell, the Angry Peanut Vendor.
Peanuts! Peanuts! Peanuts here! Peanuts!
Mitchell, thanks for being on the show. Now, Mitchell, it does not sound like you're saying peanuts. It very much sounds like you're saying penis.
Preposterous, John. I sell snacks. Penis! Penis here! And it's while it's hot! Penis!
Mitchell, come on, man. Be respectful. Why are you so angry?
I got fired from my old job.
Which was?
Hot dog salesman. They said the same thing as you. Mitchell, you can't yell things about wieners. Wieners! Wieners here! Put them in your mouth! Get them while they're hot! Wieners!
Mitchell, that's childish.
You don't know what it's like. I was the number one wiener salesman at the ballpark until they fired me for crude language. It's a jungle out there. I'm competing with beer, soda, popcorn, candy, ice cream. You've got to get their attention somehow. Peanuts! Peanuts here! Get it while it's hot!
Okay, well, why don't you just get another job?
I can't. I've got benefits as a penis salesman. And I need benefits. I've got a deadly peanut allergy.
Wait a minute. You're selling peanuts to people while you're terribly allergic?
What other choice do I have?
Mitchell, why don't you just come here and work at Spectacular Show? We've got an audience, and they would love to have you vending here. You guys want to see Mitchell come and work here at Spectacular Show, right?
Could I sell cats?
No, you will not be selling cats. I know we just met, but you're very transparent, Mitchell. But we'll find you something to sell, buddy, okay?
Okay.
Mitchell the Angry Peanut Salesman, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Peanuts! Peanuts hit!
Ladies and gentlemen, this week's Spectacular Show cheat code is Spectacular Superman. Please go on Instagram, tag Spectacular Show Pod. That's Spectacular Show POD. Hashtag Spectacular Superman, and you could win a fabulous Spectacular Show prize pack.
That is our show for this evening. I'd like to thank my guests, Shauna Miles. And Mitchell, the Angry Peanut Vendor. Mitchell. And Be sure to tune into Spectacular Show a day early this week. Wednesday. What? Tomorrow? Yep, a day early. That's right, tune in a day early on Wednesday and listen to Shauna Miles and I talk about the movie Superman 2. Shauna Miles and me, Shauna Miles and I don't know. I didn't graduate from any schools. Ladies and gentlemen, coys and furls, we'll see you next time. Bye, 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 bye.
Promotional consideration paid for by toenails. Grossing people out since the dawn of man. Ew, gross.